I want to talk about two things first before I get into the scripture passage and the scripture text for today. And the words of place and the words of refuge. Those two words. We came up with the name place of refuge, but over time thought more deeply about what those two words actually mean. Some of you, my friend, I don't know if you know some of you, he may be your friend as well, but his name is Len Halmerson. Len Halmerson wrote a book recently, well, in the last 10 years anyway, called No Home Like Place, as a play on the words, of course, of no place like home, but no home like place, and the importance of place. And I want to read a story that he has in his book. And this comes back just after the Second World War. So in his primer on theology, Karl Barth tells the story of a series of lectures he gave in the post-war ruins of the Kurfürsten Castle in Bonn, Germany. It was a rebuilding project that was underway. In the summer of 1946, Barth gave his lectures. Every morning at 7, they met to sing a psalm or hymn to cheer each other up. By 8 o'clock, the rebuilding of the quadrangle began to advertise itself in the rattle of an engine as the engineers went to work to restore the ruins of this castle. Barth notes that this is where we accomplish vigorous theological work, in the ruins of an old world in hope of the new. Unlearning, deconstruction opens the way for the new work and new learning. It takes effort, and sometimes it's messy. Doing life in the place where we've always been is very important, and as we know from our Indigenous brothers and sisters, that's really important, to do life in the place where they have always been. Place of refuge is the place where one can safely get better. It's not the original place where these guys lived, but they find a place where they can get better. And this place is really important. It's a place where they can get back on their feet, as Reeve gave testimony to. The place of refuge dream, it is the place of refuge dream right from the beginning in 1999, when we had two guys that were looking for a place, or at least we were hoping we could find them a place where they could be safe and be able to find their way beyond the struggle of their addiction. That came to be 10 years later, and now it continues, and we're very thankful. It's a place to belong, and I think Reeve mentioned that as well, in that sense that it's a very important place where people feel like it's a home and where they can belong, especially among those who have stayed a bit longer. It's really hard for people like John to think about leaving, because it really has become a home, and the guys, even though there's some new guys and some older guys there, and they have different sets of memories, but it's a place where they have come to belong. Halmerson also in his book talks about the difference between tourists and pilgrims. Tourists are escaping life and pilgrims are embracing it. Don't get me wrong, you know, we're sometimes tourists, I get that. But the idea that pilgrims are embracing life. Phil Conisot writes, "Pilgrimage is the kind of journey that moves from mindless to mindful, from soulless to soulful travel. We cannot locate ourselves, much less find ourselves, apart from the places we inhabit." Let me read that again. "We cannot locate ourselves, much less find ourselves, apart from the places we inhabit." And so place of refuge is that. A place to find ourselves, a place to locate ourselves, a place to start over. So that's the word place, the word refuge. I want to read from a quote on the website, Place of Refuge website, in the stories section, from a resident who was there a couple of times, but made an unbelievable contribution to the physical well-being of the house. His name is Tyler. Tyler recently passed away, and we're really, really sad about this. We've put a little plaque, and it's just been mounted. We have a gazebo in the back now that's been built by some loving hands of some of the church people who care about Place of Refuge. And it's a plaque that had to be specially mounted because it's solid and heavy, and it's in memory of Tyler. And his handprint is all over that house and that property because of the things he did. This is what Tyler had to say, has to say. If you go to the story section on the website, Tyler says, "If I could only say one thing about Place of Refuge, it would be to say that it is aptly named. It truly is a refuge from the chaos and uncertainty most of us face in early recovery. The house provided me with more than just a safe place to live. I found community there, other men to lean on and to lend a hand to and share with. There was calm energy about the house that seemed, for me at least, to wash away the noise and confusion and let me focus on the things that were truly important in my life. I'm eternally grateful for the time I spent living there and the friends I've made." Because of Tyler's great experience at Place of Refuge, in his passing, we've gotten to know his mom really well, and his mom is just overly grateful for Place of Refuge and the place that it had in her son's life. And she's a construction worker, so she keeps offering to contribute help in good ways. So we're really thankful for Mary, Tyler's mom. Place of Refuge has what we call a love-based philosophy of ministry. And it's different than a lot of other recovery places, even Christian recovery places, like where there's a bit more of regiment, a bit more of a sort of cookie-cutter approach that you do this, you do this, and you do this, whereas we look at everybody individually. Everyone who comes, Jeff does an amazing, well, Reeve helps as well, but Jeff does an amazing interview with all the people that are on the list who are showing interest in coming to a Place of Refuge. They know that it's Christian. Whether they themselves are Christian or not doesn't matter, but that they know it's Christian and our philosophy is love-based in a sense of Christ's love, and people come and they want to be there. And Jeff finds people who fit well. He finds people who fit well. Not everybody's going to fit well, and he does a great job of finding people who fit well. So this sense of refuge is there, this sense of this love-based understanding is there, and it applies to each and every one quite individually as to how we care for them and take care of them. Some of you saw the movie, saw the movie or even the play on Broadway called Lion King. And Lion King had this little statement about the philosophy that was trying. These guys, they're kind of rogue guys running around not having any responsibility, were trying to live by it. And it was called Hakuna Matata, which means a problem-free philosophy. I remember when we were in Botswana, we were mission workers in Botswana, my wife and myself, back in the 80s. And we often knew the term, the phrase was used, Hakuna Matata, which was long before Lion King came to be. And so I thought, yeah, this comes from the Bantu language in southern Africa, and that also meant no problem. Like we would say, no problem, no worries. That was kind of what it meant. Our philosophy is not like that. Our philosophy is different. Our POR community of men are men that are moving forward in a love-based philosophy that says, yes, life has lots of problems, but we're working with the realities of life in a love-based approach. And a POR, Place of Refuge, also is a community whose foundation is in Christ and in the Christian understanding of love. So Place of Refuge not only has a love-based philosophy, but based on the love of Jesus. And I just want to take us into Scripture for a little bit now in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Just going to make a little space for my Bible here as well. There we go. This is Jesus' last teaching with his disciples. In fact, in John 13, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. A beautiful setting of the table for this time together with his disciples. Right after the teaching, the amazing teaching of the washing of the disciples' feet, this example-based teaching. Jesus did it, taught it, and did it right after that, and followed by a lengthy and challenging and but beautiful teaching on things to come. And that's the setting for this passage that we have. Verse 34, this is the most prominent and most specific commandment that Jesus gives directly to his disciples in the entire gospel. A better translation of it might be this: love one another with the love which I have loved you. Love one another with the love with which I have loved you. This expresses the continuing relationship between Jesus and the believers. This is the kind of loving household we seek to establish and maintain at Place of Refuge. Jeff, as I mentioned earlier, Jeff goes through the interviews and welcomes people to this house who fit. And we also have weekly in-house meetings that I'm not a part of as a board member, but Jeff and Reeve are there. And we also have weekly Bible studies, which I am a part of. And I'm one of the Bible study teachers. We're currently in the process of getting another Bible study leader. And so we'll have three, hopefully, who do a rotation of weekly Bible studies in the house. Through these in-house meetings, through these Bible studies, we continue to work at building this love-based understanding and a relational approach to the work that we do at Place of Refuge. And so also in the daily interactions that Jeff and Reeve and the men have, this is the philosophy on which they are built. Verse 35 says, "But this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This declaration, and I'm quoting now from the Believer's Church Bible Commentary, which I've leaned into for this passage, by this declaration opens up the possibility of community with God and Jesus and community with one another, but it is not an easy word to keep. It takes work. There is a theme of hospitality and humble service that permeates the whole John 13. And this new commandment is the foundation and the impulse for this theme of hospitality and humble service. So while the commandment is directed at Jesus' small band of disciples with him, the positive impact of it is upon the whole church and its mission in the world. Keeping this commandment means practical obedience. Remembering that orphans and the widows in their distress is one example. I just want to read from James chapter 1, verse 27. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Looking after orphans and widows, keeping ourselves from being polluted by the world. And I might add, working with people wanting to overcome their addictions and being an example of that. Also, keeping this commandment means practical obedience, such as giving to and helping those in need. And I want to read from 1 John 3, 17 and 18. If any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Love for one another is in the new community's identity, mark of faithfulness, of faithful discipleship. That is the mark of faithful discipleship. Love one another for the new community of believers in the first century, Jesus' followers. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So it is our witness in the world. Loving one another is our witness in the world. This new command, this new covenant ethic, then, being children of God, has to do with loving actions. That's the picture. The passage leading into John chapter 13, John chapter 12, ends with Jesus declaring the commandment of eternal life given from God to Jesus, which was uniquely his to fulfill through his words and deeds. This commandment of eternal life arches over the entire gospel, and it measures the fulfillment of Jesus' mission. as Jesus' disciples live into this love commandment, they also enable Jesus to fulfill the eternal life commandment. And so it is the larger overarching theme of love God and love each other that we know so well, but is definitely central to the whole Gospel of John and is central to the work that we do with Place of Refuge. So in conclusion, let us celebrate the good work of Place of Refuge and its philosophy of ministry based on the love of Jesus. I also want to invite you and all of us together to a growing participation in this work in whatever ways you can, especially prayer and especially giving and looking at the website, finding ways that you can get involved in ways, connecting with Jeff, saying hi, you know, is there something that we can do, or even if you have someone that you know who is struggling with addictions, you can call Jeff. You can call Jeff, and he'll point you to the kind of help you need. If it's not a Place of Refuge, maybe it's initial recovery. Call Jeff. He's willing for our churches to be a resource if you've got people in your family or in your churches who need to get on the track of recovery. Lastly, I want to invite us all to be this kind of people, this kind of people of love. And again, it's from the Believer's Church Bible Commentary Series. And a quote, "How does love for one another show itself today in our congregations, homes, and actions in our larger society? Love works through the practicing of mutual aid, institutionally or spontaneously, caring for the poor, aliens, homeless, widows, and orphans among us, in church and in our society. It's speaking out on justice issues, for example, health care, access for all, and taking time to listen to hurting people, and my addition to this, working with people in addictions recovery. We must first be bathed in God's love, in Jesus' love, before we can share it with others. We must be washed and cleansed, freeing us to love. Some of us, like Peter, protest and want to stay in control, but love disarms and enables us to reflect Jesus' limitless love, poignantly shown in John chapter 13. May God bless us all. Amen.